This is WCNO Palm City, the good news station.
Today's broadcast is supported by Plains Dental Arts in Vero Beach and Port St. Lucie. Thanks to Dr. Alex Plain at Plains Dental Arts for keeping New Day with Rhett Palmer on the air daily at WCNO 89.9 FM.
And it's a new day. I'm Rhett Palmer. Another beautiful day in paradise. I have a couple of missionaries that are visiting me from Philippines, and it's Paul Barner. How are you, Paul?
I'm doing great today, except I got hurt in the current of this Florida current here. I tumbled in your waves here when I was body surfing.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
Oh, well.
But I love Florida.
You got baptized by the Florida waters, huh?
Amen.
You are L.V. Barner. You're the son of Paul?
I'm the wife. So I'm L.V. Barner, the wife of Pastor.
Oh, you're L.V.
Yes.
Well, who are you?
I'm P.J. Barner, and I'm the son.
Oh, okay, so we got P.J. All right. So who am I interviewing today? The
you're
three
interviewing,
of you or the two of you?
My dad.
Okay, so what are you all about? How did you meet David, David Usher, my friend?
You know what? I grew up in Albany, New York. And
oh, you probably know my jingles. Goldstein, Goldstein, don't sign until you see.
You did Goldstein?
Goldstein, that's my jingle.
Oh, yeah, Dad had a Subaru from them. Yeah.
Did you? Yeah, yeah. Al Goldstein. Or a Grandma's Pies.
Yeah, yeah, been there, had some.
Home of Home Cooking. Or Saratoga Shopping.
You got to come to the Philippines.
I used to live in East Greenbush, and then Troy.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I went to Columbia High School.
Oh, you went to Columbia High School. How old are you?
61 this year.
Okay, I'm 68, about to turn 69. Now, maybe Bobby Vendetta. Did you know him? He was my friend.
Yeah,
he was a musician.
Vendettas.
You know Bobby Vendetta? Because he was a bass player. He was like this 15-year-old kid. He got born again. He came to know the Lord. I did not believe in Jesus. I was into Eastern religions. And he said, well, I've become a witness for Jesus. And I said, what does that mean? He said, well, I'm a witness. But you know, I watched him out of the corner of my eye for the next year. And there was a change in him. And that he was, ironically, he taught me what a witness is, but he was one of the greatest witnesses I've ever met.
Wow.
Yeah, sold out for Jesus. So you went to Columbia High School in East Greenbush.
Yeah.
I used to live at the Commons over there with my parents.
Oh, okay.
And I was there in my late teens. And
Route 4?
Yeah. I think so, yeah. And it's all vague now, you know. But but yeah, so I went to Hudson Valley Community College. Yeah, yeah. So what happened?
Abby went there. I went there.
Now, hi, how are you? Alumni, huh? So now so what are you all about? What did your dad do before you?
Dad was a teacher in Rensselaer Junior Senior High School for 50 years.
Rensselaer.
Close, very close.
How
you forgot
you
the E.
That?
Oh, Lear. No.
Rensselaer.
Yeah, I said it.
Very good.
Go back and listen to the recording. I said the same.
I'm going to have to go
with you. Okay. Now, so who's from the Philippines then?
Yeah.
Oh, you're from the Philippines.
Yes, I am.
So how did he meet you from the Philippines? Were you a missionary on your own before you met your husband?
Yeah, I graduated the seminary from Ebenezer Bible College and Seminary in Zamboanga City. Then I was assigned in Davao City to be the Christian Education Director. Then I was teaching, running the program of the Christian education in the church. Then one day, I was teaching Evangelism Explosion, talking about the topic about prayer. Then in the middle of my class, there was an American who came into my classroom. He was led by our senior pastor in the church. So it was Pastor Paul Barner, way back 1992.
1994.
So you've been married 30 years.
26. We got married 2 years later. I didn't marry her when I met her.
We're getting married next week. Hold on a second. The Lord has spoken. So anyway, so you took your time. So you have a gift of administration.
Yes.
And you're educated in the things of the Bible.
Yes, God.
Okay, now were you, there's a lot of Catholics in the Philippines. Were you born a Catholic or were you born, what sort of religion did your parents follow?
Yeah, the CMA, Christian and Missionary Alliance.
Okay.
But in the Philippines, we call it KAMAKO, Christian and Missionary Alliance Churches of the Philippines.
So did you come to know Jesus as a child? Was there a point where you gave your heart to Jesus?
Yeah, when I was 7 years old.
Seven?
Yes. Although my parents are Christians and also my siblings, I'm one of the 10 kids in the family. I'm second to the youngest.
Mm.
So our parents always bring us to the church, in the jungle church. And,
jungle church?
Yeah, in the mountain area.
Oh, that sounds wonderful.
I'm not a city girl. I'm from the jungle. Oh, I never dreamed to be able to taste America. But in God's amazing love and His ways, He gave
So
me.
It's seven, though. I'm more interested in seven. But you had such an experience that you remember and you know without a doubt that that's when you had the conversion. Because, you know, God doesn't have any grandchildren. As they say, people go, what do you mean by that? Well, what I mean is your parents may be getting into heaven, but it doesn't mean you're getting into heaven. You have got to have Jesus and make sure you're born of above, born once of the flesh. You must be born of the Spirit of God or you're not getting in. Now, those are His words. I don't know how He's going to handle it in the end. Is it going to be all forgiving or not? Some people want to believe that in this day and age. I hope He's forgiving, because as we forgive, so shall we be forgiven, but I don't know. But I do know this, that I got birthed at the age of 29 into a kingdom I did not know about, and know beyond a shadow of a doubt that that happened. How about you, the husband here, who
Bob.
Is, and your name is Bob. So, Bob, when did you come to know
well,
that
you I'm lived still in East Paul, Greenbush? But...
Oh. Well, that's somebody else. Okay.
That's okay,
that's
Fred.
The people who were in here. So we're looking at Paul.
When I was 10 Barner. Years old.
Yeah.
When I was 10 years old in Albany, New York, I was at church, and I already knew how to become a Christian.
Yeah.
I already knew that Jesus died on the cross to pay for my sins, and that I had to come to the place where I would pray to receive Him into my heart.
You resisted for years, though?
You know, I just didn't do it. I kept putting it off.
Mm.
I didn't really resist it.
At the old age of 10.
But I told people in the Philippines, I said I was the worst sinner in the world. I was worse than a mass murderer. I was worse than...
Why did you think that of yourself?
Because I knew the truth, and I didn't follow through on it.
Mm.
To know the truth and not to accept it, now that's really sin.
Mm.
So I said, I was worse than you, and sure enough...
What happened at 10?
At 10, I was in church, and suddenly the Holy Spirit said, come on, stop putting it off. Go down to the altar and pray.
And what happened?
And at that point in time, my life was transformed in ways I didn't even realize quite yet. About 6 months later, I was at a Bible camp, and a missionary was speaking, and he said, come to, not Africa, come to the Philippines. I said...
And where was this?
That was in Rome, New York, at Delta Lake Bible Camp.
What's the name of it?
Delta Lake Bible Camp.
Okay. Did you ever go up to Word of Life, Scroon Lake?
Yeah, we visited there. Actually, we shared with some of the staff there at one time. One of them is now a missionary with our ministry that we started in the Philippines.
So now you have a missionary. Now, a missionary program, or what do you all do in the Philippines?
When we got there, when Elvie and I got married in 96, I said, okay, we're going to wait for your visa. So I just bought a one-way ticket to get there. And then I said, let's start something.
Pretty confident, right?
So,
one-way ticket.
So it took 4 years for her to get her visa. So in those 4 years... We started a church, we started a school, and it wasn't until 2006 that we started an orphanage as well. And now we've planted 30 churches altogether.
Wow. Planted 30 churches.
Yeah.
Now, does that come from your skills or her skills or a combination of both?
Because
you're
an
administrator, right?
Yeah.
Is he the spearhead?
Yes, he is. But most of the people, what happened was, because of the school, then we disciple the parents of the school, then wherever they are at, so we started gathering them, and it turned into a church. So it keeps like spreading and multiplying.
Now, you were saying this morning in a meeting we were in that you started off, and it was by your love for the community that people were drawn to Jesus. You started this orphanage. This is a lot to handle administratively. How do you not overwork yourself? Because, you know, we can be doing, but sometimes we forget how to just be. We are beings, too.
You know, Rhett.
We're supposed to be.
That's something we always have to be concerned about, becoming a mile wide and an inch deep. When I was in seminary, there was a missionary came up to me and said, Paul, you're going to go to the mission field. You're going to go to the third world. You're going to be surrounded by needs. You can't do it all. You have to pick and choose and understand what the Holy Spirit is telling you to do.
Yeah, we're only given 8 hours in each day.
That's true.
And, you know, you can't do everything.
Well, 8 for sleep, 8 for work, and 8 for play. So we got 24. But, yeah. So what we do is we take Jethro's advice, the father-in-law of Moses, and we delegate authority. We find, you know what? We're meeting the needs of the Filipino people. Why don't we train the Filipino people to meet their own needs?
But then there's the finances.
Finances? God provides. In fact, he speaks to me instead of through a board, through my wallet. And if I say, you know, we need an orphanage, and then there's no money for it, we don't start an orphanage. But then a miracle happened, Rhett. I wanted to start an orphanage just right after we got married, and there was no money there. And then there was a tsunami in 2004 in Indonesia, and I went down with a team of just other Christians in Mindanao who wanted to help, whether it was taking out dead bodies. A quarter of a million people died from that.
A quarter of a million people and you were there.
I said, how can we help?
Yeah.
And we helped out in different ways. And there was a guy from Scotland, and he said, thank you for doing what you're doing. When you go back to the United States, stop by Scotland and speak in our church. And so we spoke in his church, and he said, you know what? Now I'm coming over to the Philippines to help you with a problem you have there. Kids are getting shot on the street by the DDS, the Davao Death Squad. There had been over 800 people who had been shot since the 1980s for just petty crimes. He says, I can't sleep at night knowing that kids are being shot on the streets. Not only that, kids that are arrested are being molested in the prisons. So I'm going to solve that problem and come over to the Philippines.
So there was a despot in charge at that time, a dictator. Is he still dictating there now or no?
No. His daughter is now the vice president of the country.
Mm.
However, in the case of our friend in Scotland, he ended up dying in a couple of years later. And so we were like, okay, he came to the Philippines to help us start a corporation for an orphanage to help these kids in a safe house. And then he leaves and goes to heaven. What are we going to do? So we renewed that corporation every year. And then somebody contacted me from Mexico. And he said, I can't sleep at night. I keep thinking about these kids getting hurt in the Philippines. I had Googled to find out if there's any ministries that work with poor street kids, and you popped up. If I gave you $30,000, would you start an orphanage? Suddenly, God's speaking through my wallet.
No, what is it? No, $30,000, though, is a lot more in the Philippines than it is here, right?
Oh, yeah.
What is it the equivalent of?
$30,000. Oh, you mean in pesos.
No, well, in American dollars, what is that worth?
1.5 million pesos is $30,000.
Tune in again tomorrow at 3 a.m., 7 a.m. or 3 p.m. for the continuation of this interview. I'm your host, Rhett Palmer, and this is A New Day.
Your faithfulness reaches to the sky. Your endures time, and I won't be afraid whenever these troubles come around. Your love and grace, oh Lord, will come.